Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
97.1 FM Talk.
On-demand audio.
This hour of the Mark Reardon Show is sponsored by Gamma Tree Experts. Your trees deserve the best care. Call Gamma Tree Experts. This is the Mark Reardon Show on 97.1 FM Talk.
I like Wednesdays, too. I don't know how you feel about Wednesdays, but I like Wednesdays maybe just a little better than Tuesdays because we're closer to the weekend, and we have a lot of fun with Alex Rich like we did in the 4 o'clock hour.
That's true.
And, you know, I still watch this stupid show, Survivor, and it's on Wednesdays, and we kind of get together and chill on a Wednesday night. I don't really care as much about the American League series, so I don't know if I'll watch much baseball tonight. I think they play, and then the Brewers and the Dodgers tomorrow. Disappointed the way that that started because...
It's not good.
No. You know, and there was this whole storyline that could have been there, you know, kind of winning it for Bob Uecker, who passed away. But the Brewers have not looked very good, and the Dodgers are a really good team. I don't want to see the Dodgers in the World Series again.
I know.
I didn't
want to
see the Yankees. I got that wish, but, you know, don't want to see it. So, unfortunately, even as a big baseball fan, probably not going to do too much. Fred, will you watch no matter what? Are you dedicated? Fred says yes, so he's in. I mean, I'm going to sample some of it. There's no doubt about that. Here's Mike Johnson talking about some things, some antics that happened on Capitol Hill last night.
Last night, they played some games. They stormed my office. Maybe you saw some of the video online that they themselves shared, or someone did. They berated a Capitol police officer, screamed at him. He was just merely standing his post. Shows, again, their disdain for law enforcement, as we see all around the country, the Democrats and everyone in that party, screaming, assaulting ICE officers. They did it right here in the Capitol last night. A few members of Congress went into the little foyer of my office and tore down a sign that I had up and just engaged in all sorts of political stunts and antics. They've been doing that every day now, and it shows their desperation.
Such civil discourse on Capitol Hill. Dwayne Patterson back with us from HotAir.com, the host of the Dwayne's World podcast. Dwayne, how are you on this Wednesday?
I'm doing quite well, actually. I am not seeming to engage in the same civil discourse that Democrats are.
Yeah, so here we are, you know, and I thought maybe this thing would be wrapped up by this time. It doesn't look like we're going to have any kind of resolution soon. I don't know where the leverage is. I mean, they think that this healthcare thing is going to work for them. And I talked to Jonathan Martin from Politico earlier this afternoon. You know, if you look at the polling, you look at some of these districts, healthcare does play a role. Maybe there's some pressure from some Republican lawmakers, but it's hard for me to think that the Trump administration is going to say, okay, you're right, we're going to end this thing, but we're also going to do this deal right now on the ACA subsidy. So what's the way out of this right now? Because I think both sides are not ready to cave.
Well, there's the practical way of doing it, and then there is the long-term way to do it and fix the problem so that we don't go through this kind of a circus again. The short-term way, quickly, is they hold their No Kings rally. And once they hold their big No Kings rally this weekend on the National Mall, and Chuck Schumer can look tough to the fever swamp, then he's going to wink, wink, nod, nod as five or six more Democrats in states that have a large military presence that aren't getting paid, they cave and they vote against it, and the whole thing goes away. That's the short-term way out. The long-term way out, as I talked about with former Missouri Senator Jim Talent, I know he's on your show all the time, too.
Yep.
Jim's a good friend. We started to flesh this out yesterday on the podcast. And there is a way to actually break the Senate rules, not just do a nuclear option, but to change the standing rules of the Senate so that it only takes a simple majority on either clean CRs, and they have to be clean CRs, existing funding, or on appropriations bills. And that way, you take the threat of a shutdown away for that kind of purpose. And we talked about how that can actually happen, And the natural pushback is, no, no, you can't do that. If you do that, the Democrats are going to take that window, and when they get back in power, they're going to put in 15 Supreme Court justices.
Right,
they're going to
they're
going to do all sorts of number of things, right? Here's the problem. Look at, you just played the clip of the House Democratic side and how crazy the Democrats are acting right now. Do you think if they get back in power, they're not going to just upend all the rules and norms anyway?
No, they will. Yeah, I don't think they'll hesitate.
So why not actually fix the problem and take away, at least for the short and medium term, take away their ability to hold the entire country hostage over something stupid?
Did Senator Talent feel like discussions of those natures were going on Capitol Hill?
In a backhanded way, yes. We both, on that podcast, we both have our people on the Hill that kind of follow what we do and listen to this podcast, and so it's now circulating up there. And this is something the Democrats have no idea that the Republicans are even thinking about.
Yeah, so, you know, on the rest of the politics of that, let's take that particular solution out of the mix just quickly here, because, you know,
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
I can't remember if it was Johnson or somebody else said, I don't know that a whole lot of people in this country are really, and I know people are affected and some people aren't getting paychecks and we don't want that to happen. But for the normal everyday American who's probably exhausted by the news cycle anyway, I don't even think they care or they're dialed into this right now. Now, these people are going to show up at the No Kings rallies, certainly do, but they're activists anyway, and they're not exactly, these aren't middle of the road Democrats who are going to show up this weekend. So I don't know that, you know, the Trump administration is losing any political capital. I'm not even sure the Democrats are, just because I'm not sure it's an issue that is grabbing the American people.
Well, and again, it didn't really start happening until this last weekend when the first military payroll got missed. And now what you're going to have is Russ Vogt, was the OMB director, was on Charlie Kirk's show, our colleagues, our late colleagues' show on the Salem Radio Network. And he said that he'd already basically furloughed permanently 4,000 federal workers. And he indicated that, you know, he being the grim reaper of the federal government, there's a bunch more coming. The longer this goes, because they're going to have to do it. So there will be more pain to the Democratic side. But I'm telling you, if you threaten them, and you let the Democrats know that we're going to take away the ability for you to filibuster appropriations bills, that's actually something that may be something to have them say, okay, let's not go that road. Let's walk back from that. They actually may break because of that threat alone.
Here's the president today in his advice to Democrats.
The Democrats are getting killed on the shutdown because we're closing up programs that are Democrat programs that we were opposed to. So we're being, and they're never going to come back in many cases. And we're going to have a list of them on Friday, closing up some of the most egregious socialist, semi-communist, probably not full communist, we're saving that for New York, but semi-communist programs, and we're closing them up. We're not closing up Republican programs because we think they work.
I love that where he goes, we're saving that for New York, when he's weaving there. Look, I can't wait to see that list, so I'd be fine with that. But it is getting nasty, and I'm not sure how we're going to get out of this. But let me take you to No Kings. So I'm sure there's something planned here for St. Louis. I'm looking at Newsweek right now. They have the list of all these things that are happening. Is this going to be one of those things? I don't think the first No Kings rally amounted to a whole lot, did it? They did one in June. Was it the same day that Trump was doing the military stuff?
Yeah, I think so. And I don't think this is going to have the same impact. And the reason being, if you looked, I mean, anybody that has even a remote passing interest in anything newsworthy, they may not be following all the nuances of whether it's Chuck Schumer's shutdown or it's Mike Johnson's shutdown or what. They may not be following it the way you and I are following it, or anybody in the audience is following it. But how many people saw what Trump pulled off on the world stage from both Israel and then again in Egypt, and basically showed the world who the big dog was? And once he was able to do that, how small does that make Democrats look?
I think it should make them look very small. Right. Yeah, it should make them look small. Look, I even referenced this yesterday. Bill Maher was sitting around on his podcast with William H. Macy, who, by the way, stars in a movie that is based on a guy here from St. Louis, John O'Leary, called Soul on Fire. But they basically said, and they agreed, I was encouraged by Bill Macy saying this, that, you know, no matter what you feel about the guy, when he achieves something of this nature on this level in scale, don't you have to give a little credit? Well, they don't want to do that because of politics. There have been some niceties. Even Hillary Clinton might have said something nice. Tony Blinken took all of the the credit himself. But yeah, that kind of takes a little bit of the edge off the no king stuff, you would think.
Well, see, that's what I'm thinking, is a lot of people are going to give Trump an awful lot of credit for being able to pull this off, something that couldn't have been pulled off before. Remember, the same crowd that is going to be part of this no kings rally, it's the same group of people. These are the people that said, cease fire now, right? You know, the Rashida Tlaib types. These are the same people that wanted Israel to knock it off and we need a free Palestine now. Well, now we actually have a ceasefire.
Yeah, what's the reaction going to be, right? They don't know what to do with themselves.
Crickets, right? It's crickets.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I think Trump sucked a lot of wind out of their sails. I could be wrong, but I don't think it's going to be anywhere near as energetic as they think it's going to be. I think there's going to be more people in the media watching it than there are going to be people there.
Okay, I'm going to play a soundbite that I have not played yet this afternoon. It's something maybe I should have saved for audio cut of the day, but this is our former vice president, Dwayne Patterson. I know you've heard this.
Well, some people have actually said I was the most qualified candidate ever to run for president.
I like the some people say. Very nice, but go ahead.
I'm just speaking fact.
Oh, my God.
Isn't that great?
That's my friend Kenny Wallace laughing there. Can you believe that?
Some people might say that, yes, Kamala, but most other people think you're a moron. And thank God for that. Thank God for that discernment amongst the American people in such record numbers.
Unbelievable. Now, you're in California, where you have this governor's race. I have this amazing audio from this this candidate that went on, Betty Yee, with Piers Morgan, that just got filleted by Piers. I'm going to share a little bit later this hour. But then you got this whole Katie Porter thing.
Hang on one second, everybody.
No, we should put the computer up on the phone.
Yes, yes, we should have. Yeah. Yes. Okay, everybody, I'm not that dark.
It's too dark.
So this is another one of those videos and, you know, things that have gotten out there in the aftermath of some controversy involving this former congressman who is running for governor of your state, California. She's got this reputation for kind of being mean, and she went on with this local, was it a CBS reporter or a local reporter, where she wouldn't answer some questions and some follow-up questions. So she has been in the news cycle here the last week, the national news cycle, Dwayne.
And it doesn't end. Over the weekend, she appeared on another interview in the wake of all these. It's called Inside California Politics, and I think the lady's name was Nikki Lorenzo. And Nikki pressed her three or four times, so are there more just tell us, are there going to be more videos out there of you being basically a dragon lady? Are there more videos of you berating your staff? And she says, well, I'm just worried about the future, and I admitted I was wrong to my staffer, and, you know, sometimes, you know, people are just not at their best. And the interviewer kept saying, okay, well, I understand all that. You've said that before. Are there going to be more videos dropping? Well, I'm only looking forward to the future. But are there more videos dropping? I'm telling you, I'm only looking forward to the future. She pressed her five times in that interview, are there going to be more videos? And she wouldn't answer the question. And the look of horror on Lorenzo's face, if she would have pressed her one more time, a pot of boiling potatoes would have been coming her direction.
But having said all that, she's still, now I know it's a crowded field, right? There's like 12 candidates or something in this race.
And it's a jungle primary in the state, too.
Which means what?
It means that the top two vote getters, regardless of party, get on the ballot.
Right. Okay. So she could be on the final ballot with a fellow Democrat. Rick Caruso is technically, he's running for governor.
Nope.
I thought he was doing.
It's going to be Steve Hilton. It's going to be Steve Hilton.
Okay.
The former Fox guy. He's actually sitting right now as either the number one or number two vote getter overall in polling, and it's between Katie Porter, who had it going away, and once she is falling like a rock, we don't know who is going to be against Steve Hilton. But it's she's falling like a rock right now in polling. It's great.
Yeah, this is going to be interesting to see. Now, but you wouldn't expect Steve Hilton he's a Republican. You wouldn't expect a Republican to win the, you know, governor's race in California in the end, would you?
Well, how much time do we have? Because I can explain it in about 2 minutes.
Okay.
Okay. If you take California's vote and you break it up into thirds, a third of the votes cast are L.A. County alone. Another third of the votes cast are the Bay Area, San Francisco and Oakland. The entire rest of the state is the other third of the votes cast, right? So you got two bubbles and then the entire spine of the state. It's a 2-to-1 margin always. The two bubbles vote Democrat and the other third votes Republican. The only catch now is because of those wildfires, because of the homeless problem, because of the riots and all the deportations and all the nonsense going on in L.A., and all of that Malibu land hasn't been rebuilt, and the Palisades haven't been rebuilt, and Pasadena has not been rebuilt because they're not permitting, and that's all a state function. Right now, that L.A. bubble is cracking. And if that L.A. bubble cracks, along with the rest of the state, then you have a scenario where Steve Hilton could win a 55-45 win.
Yes.
It's possible.
Well, so, you know, it'll be interesting to see because I'm looking at his website right now and he's talking about the bureaucracy and the red tape war. And I'll share a quick story. So when all this was happening with COVID a few years ago, remember how we heard that we were running out of oxygen? Well, we were never running out of oxygen. We had plenty of oxygen, but we had, you know, disadvantage in converting liquid oxygen to, you know, breathable oxygen. So I have a friend in Vegas who works in this industry. And, you know, he deals, so when you see these big tanks at hospitals or they use oxygen, nitrogen for a lot of things in products that are made. But this became an issue during COVID. Why is there not more of a capability in California? And his answer was because it takes about 6 years from start to finish to start a plant and to get the permitting and to get the bigger tank. He said it's ridiculous what they have to go through. So a lot of the smaller hospitals are sometimes grandfathered out. But the level of red tape that we have in Missouri, for example, compared to California, you got it on steroids. And that's one thing that's being seemingly discussed in this governor's race, right?
And it matters, too, because you've got two oil refineries that are about ready to move out and shutter in California because it's too hard to stay up with their California regulations and do business here. So if gas skyrockets because we now have to truck it in from other states because we can't refine it here anymore because of the Democratic governance of this state, then you've got a scenario where real people are hurt and they're just tired of it. And You start to weave a scenario where it might be a perfect storm for the right candidate.
All right. Well, remember this conversation. I find it fascinating. I mean, from looking from afar and just seeing Katie Porter, I don't see anything about that woman to like nothing whatsoever. And if you're kind of ranking the two worst looking politicians that are either governors or running for governor, J.B. Pritzker and Katie Porter might have a tough runoff there.
Who do you think is leaking these videos? It's her own staff that's doing it. It's not. This isn't a Republican hit job.
Yeah.
It's her own people. They can't. Nobody likes her.
Yeah, I mean, this certainly is being exposed. So you would think that the polling would still continue to drop. It'll be fascinating to watch. So when's essentially the primary for that? Is that coming up here in a couple of weeks?
No, I think
this
it's
is in the
No. We have the general election in late 26, November 26. I think the primary is March.
Yeah, right. Spring primary. That makes sense. Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
I just want to make sure I wasn't off completely off the mark. Dwayne, always great to have you on. Dwayne Patterson. You can find him on the Dwayne's World podcast on the X, formerly Twitter. And we'll have you back soon. I appreciate it. Have a great week.
Thanks, bud.
Get more at 971talk.com.
not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.